Let's open to Colossians chapter 3. I want to take one verse from last week's message to begin today. We've been teaching on identification, becoming the best you, because we're not just content to just be whatever we feel like. We're not content with parts and aspects of our lives we don't necessarily like or want, but we want to become the best that we can become. And we have a reason for that, a great basis for that, because the Bible says in Genesis, we are made in God's likeness and in God's image. So it isn't that we're trying to raise the bar. The bar has already been raised. God said, I want you to act like me and look like me in the sense that in your humanity to reflect my nature through your life. And guess what? Through Christ, it is actually possible. It is possible not to be perfect in that regard, but to pursue that Christ-likeness. That's why he came and gave his life. But in Colossians chapter 3, it says this in verse 1, if you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We gave you a topic last week. We called the message, Activate the New You, Deactivate the Old You, or the Old Man. The Bible talks about the old man. He tells us in Ephesians especially, we should put on the new man who is created in the image of Christ. Now, this is very plain because we all know good and well that none of us are perfect in here. And even us who are Christians sometimes have to really fight the good fight of faith to maintain a certain walk, a certain disposition, a certain lifestyle, because we're all tempted and pressured to live another way. But the way Paul put it here to the Colossian church was, if you're raised with Christ, he says, seek those things which are above. Seek the values, the principles, the blessings from above. Above is referring to heavenly things, higher things. He says, and he said also where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. We set our minds. The mindset is a term we all know. Mindset doesn't mean that I don't notice things. No, mindset means focus, purpose. Even though I enjoy life, I've got many things in this world. I got a house and cars. I got computers and cameras and stuff like that. But my mind is not set on those things. I'm aware of those things, but my mind is set on things above. My mind is set on kingdom of God. It's set on living for Christ. It's set on loving my family, loving people. My mind is set on things above. You follow me? So I got a lot of stuff in the world, but my mind isn't set in those things. Now, you know, I'm a preacher. I preach funerals, and I'm in processions. We're going down the street. We recognize someone's home going or passing. I've been in many processions, and I ain't never seen a U-Haul truck in a procession with the person's stuff. Come on, Uncle. Amen. I've never seen anything other than the people who love the person. Point is, see, put your mind on where you're going. Because the stuff won't take you there, amen? Put your mind on heaven, because none of your stuff, none of your jobs, none of your possessions will take you there. It all gets left behind. So why set your mind on things that can't transition from this life into the life forever with God? Amen? And good news is this, when you have your mind set up on things above, and you have activated that new you in Christ, and you have deactivated the old you, it actually makes you more functional and more fruitful in this present time. You're a better employee, you're a better husband, you're a better friend, you're a better wife, you are better everywhere around. You are better in the earth when your mind is set on things above. Amen, church?
Amen.
So the CDs are available for last week's message. Please get that message. Very important word. Pray you'll get that and listen to it. Today I want to talk to you about the blessing of honor. Say the blessing
of honor.
Let's begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The blessing of honor. What is the blessing of honor? I want to take also this message from some notes from a preacher named John Bevere, who has a book and a teaching called Honor's Reward. I'm taking some thoughts from that as well here today. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says in verse 9, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, to God. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things he has done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, interesting text, because he says, first of all, the motivation we have is our aim, it's our purpose. Our mindset is whether present or absent. It is whether I'm here alive or dead and gone and with God, whether I'm here with you or someplace else even, wherever I am. He says, my aim is to be well-pleasing to God. See,
my aim is to be well-pleasing to God.
That's a very simple statement, very powerful statement. That's a motivational statement, if you will. Then he tells us something that we, a fact about that statement. He says, now here's the reason why he said that. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before Jesus for judgment. Now, let me be clear about this. This is not the judgment whether one is going to heaven or hell. This is only about believers. Believers receiving reward, recognition. I mean, we all have to stand before Christ and give an account for our lives and hear from him. Think about that. You know, you have jobs, and every job, most jobs have a review, annual review sometime, more or less, at some time, and you come up before the review, whether it's your supervisor or a team of people, and they go back over that year and talk about what you've done. Now, somehow we live like we're going to just waltz into heaven and skate right past Jesus, you know, and go have a seat on the Crystal Lake and wherever, you know what I'm saying? No, you got to hold, stop off and see Jesus on the way in. Amen, somebody. There's a song I love by a guy named McClurkin. But part of the song says, I know heaven must be all right. But he says, I'm not there to enjoy the view. He says, I just want to see him. He said, I don't need Moses. I don't need David. I don't need none of them. I just want to see Jesus. And really, you're going to see him. Amen. So, well, let me go ahead and tour the pearly gates and get my tour. No, you're going to see Jesus first. You're going to stop off at the gate and then go to see Jesus. And here's the point. We must all appear before him. Amen. That each one may receive the things done in the body, whether according to what he's done, good or bad. Now, good and bad means, the bad doesn't mean sinful things. All right. It just says that while we lived in the earth, in these bodies, were we people who identified with him, with his purpose? So identification is about I'm living my life on purpose. I'm making my aim to be pleasing to him. And guess what? If I can please God, I will please my employer. I'll please my wife. I'll please my husband. I mean, you will please everybody around you who's lesser than God. So in case you didn't know, just make a note. We all have to stand before him. Now, there's no sorrow in heaven. The good news is that if you get that far, you've made it in.
Hallelujah.
See, I made it in.
I made it in.
So you're definitely in, okay? Ain't no chance of going. You in. Don't worry about that part. You in there. But it's my nature. I don't know about you. Whatever I'm doing, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to do things the best I'm able to do it, just by the principle of it. But also, people do see what you do. Amen. Right? So your witness is how you handle what you have, how you handle your family and finances and things. I mean, I keep my car clean. Why drive a dirty car? I didn't buy it dirty. You know? Quiet in this church here. All right. Anyway, I got a black car. It's different, right? You say, well, Pastor, it's about a white car. You never have to clean it. Well, Y'all, I don't roll like that. When I had a car that wouldn't look dirty, it was dirty, y'all. Your car is dirty. It don't show dirt, that's dirt. But that's just me. Because I'm in the habit of doing the best I can. But I do fall down. I'm way too big and all this. So I got issues now. I'm not perfect up here. But the point is, we make it our aim. We make it our aim. You aim, you sometimes come short. You aim, you don't always hit the target. But you say, I'm aiming. And so we'll stop off there at this thing called the judgment seat of Christ, the bema. Greek word is bema, the bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. And the whole idea is we want to receive reward. We want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. He'll say this, you are faithful over a few things. He won't say you're faithful over everything. None of us are faithful to every single thing, right? We all come short sometime. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
So he knows who we are. He knows how we're made. He knows we're but dust. It's a glorious thing. But yet I'm motivated to live my life, to love in life in a way that when I stand before him, he'll recognize it. And I will know. Lord, I sought to serve you. My aim was to please you. Now let's go back to look at 2 John. I'll go forward to 2 John, verse 8. The other scripture I'm going to share with you, another foundation scripture. We're talking about identification. We're talking about the blessing of honor. You'll see that here in a moment. We'll get to that point. You'll see it all tied together here. Now, 2 John, verse 8. It says, look to yourselves that we do not lose things we have worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. Is that clear? You see it? Yeah. Apostle John said, look to yourself. He didn't say, you know, call people out, find what's wrong with them, and look at those folk. He said, look at yourself. Look at yourself. You know, we all got in the mirror this morning, amen? And we checked ourselves out. Now, sometimes I told my wife, you got to look at me. Because sometimes and I miss stuff, you know what I'm saying? So my wife now knows she got to look at me. And like more and more, because I get busy, my mind is distracted. I go out, hair all over my head, hands all ashy, shoes not tied. Now, I got clothes on. I haven't done that yet. But he says, look to yourself that you don't lose what you work for. How's that possible? Well, think about it. Sometimes people have amassed wealth, or at least they got finance, they got savings, they've had some benefits, things, but then they mismanage, let's say, for example, the finances, and they squander away their savings, squander away, you know, the money they've had, and they can literally lose what they've had. It happens. But he's talking about here spiritually, let's not lose what we worked for. Let's not fail to honor God so that we then come short of his expectation for, you know, God expects things from us. You know, God expects from us. Again, when I meet at camp, one reason the camp goes so well is because we expect a lot from the young folk. And then we give them the tools and instructors of quality to help them do what we expect them to do. Right? When you expect a lot, you actually get a lot.
Amen.
In fact, people expect a lot from you. You end up doing more than you thought you could do.
Right.
Just by the power of expectation. You know, God expects a lot from us.
Yes.
He has good reason to expect a lot, doesn't he?
Yes.
Then he gives you his son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He gave you the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
He gave you the word. Amen.
Yes.
He gave you parents to love you. God's given us so much. He has every right to say, I expect you to completely understand. I want you to serve me. And it says here, but that we may receive a full reward. Now, this got me thinking here. And I also read this in the notes I've been reading and studying. I mean, the very statement that we can receive a full reward means there must be something lesser than full. That some people are heading on a trajectory toward getting less than a full reward. Some believers are going down a road that will lead to getting half or a tenth, I don't know what, but less than full. The text here says, John is saying he wants us, God wants us, to receive a full reward. Now, what is it that causes you to receive a full reward? Well, what causes you to receive that is something called honor. Say honor.
Honor.
Yeah, you see the text. Honor. Honor is, in fact, what brings you to a place of having full reward and blessing in life. So I'm calling this message the blessing or the blessing of honor. First example, I'll give you three stories. Mark chapter 6. How do we walk in blessing? How do we get ourselves on the path for full reward in this life and the life thereafter? How do we get the maximum benefit and blessing of what God intended us to have? In Mark chapter 6, I'm going to read a story from verse 1. We'll come back and teach on it. Verse 1, then he went from there and came to his own country, talking about Jesus, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet, not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. But in verse 5, it says, now he could do no mighty work there, except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Now, this is an amazing story. And it's very instructive because he went home to preach. He went home, hometown. And when he got there, began doing what he did everywhere else. The folks said, whoa, what is this? Who is this? What? Who? Whoa. Where'd he get all this? Where'd he get this wisdom to do all these great miracles? Wait a minute. Is not this the carpenter? Or he would say, isn't this just the carpenter? We know you. You grew up on the west side. Basically saying, you ain't nobody. What you doing? And it says, and we know your mother. We know your brothers, your sisters. You got the audacity to come up in here teaching like you somebody? When you're actually nobody to us? Who do you think you are? They were offended at him. They got offended at him doing really well. Anybody got a problem with you doing well? Just lose them people. Just walk away from folk who can't celebrate when you're doing really well. I mean, anybody wants to compliment you and come around you when you're hurting and struggling and remind you, how's that going? I heard you had some problems 5 years ago. That kind of folk, just avoid them people. But Jesus, in his hometown, wasn't respected. He said as much, that the prophet has honor everywhere else except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house. And here's the tragic part. For the people, and he could do no mighty work there. It didn't say he wouldn't do. Listen, y'all, listen, he wasn't so mad he refused to help people. No, they cut themselves off. Their lack of honor and faith actually cut themselves off from the blessing that God would have brought through him. He says he could do. Now imagine Christ not doing something. See, it doesn't compute. Well, he can do anything. Actually, he can't. That Jesus doesn't do anything that goes against the will of God. Amen? It's not God's will to always help people who don't want any help.
That's right. That's right.
Hear me now. It isn't, listen, it's against God's will to help you and you hating on him. All right? It isn't in God's plan to help me when I got a problem with God, with his word, with his church, with his people. Because it's inconsistent with the principles of faith. See, faith works by love. And in fact, faith, I see now, works by honor. Say honor. And faith work together. Now, so the Bible says these folk, just, you know, they were so busy seeing the Jesus Christ who grew up on the street. You know, everybody knew they couldn't recognize who he had become, who actually was. Listen, y'all, you are not just what you do. You are not your work. You are not just what you do at your job. You're way more than that. Amen. Even and listen, I know you're more than the struggle you're going through. Amen. I know you're more than, I mean, when you have a lot or a little, you are more than that. Because folk want to come around you when you got it going on, you got money, you got stuff to give people. Hey, my friend. But you can't find those folk, you know, when you're going through something, which go to show you, they don't really honor you. Because true honor isn't dependent upon what one possesses. True honor comes from the heart. It's a heart issue. Christ even said to the Pharisees that you say, well, he quoted from Isaiah, who said, with your lips you honor me, but your heart is far from me. That's what God said. He called out the Pharisees on that. See, that people can say things. All right. Sometimes people, when I'm among friends, and friends call me by my name, Brian, and, you know, my wife called me Brian, you know, and sometimes, you know, Elder called me Brian. Well, my name is actually Brian, so we got to call him Pastor, because you don't pastor, you don't honor him. I had a whole bunch of folk call me Pastor. Didn't honor me at all. I know that game. Some folk with their mouth honor you, but their heart is far from you. So call me whatever, just call me in time for dinner, you know what I'm saying? And I can really, what you don't know is people can really see when you're faking honor. They just don't talk to you about it. But they actually know. When you don't really have honor, you just kind of lip service. All right? But watch this. So the consequence, though, of this, where the people were concerned, was that he could do no mighty work there except lay his hands on a few sick folk and heal them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, if you will, their lack of faith, their dishonor. He had marveled, like, this is amazing. This is amazing. He's like, Jesus is like, this is amazing. He's like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm like, I'm at home, and these folk can't recognize what God is doing. They're going to miss out on what God put in me to give them because they hung up on me being the carpenter. You know what I'm saying? And I should be back making boats and stuff, whatever. I mean, it's amazing to him. It's amazing to me thinking about it. All right. Now, a lack of honor or reducing Jesus to something lesser and familiar will block the blessing that God wants to bring to our lives. Now, we're all blessed by God because he's merciful. He's good. And even when we don't serve God, he's blessing us. He's helping us. He's merciful. He loves us. But how much more can we walk, how much more blessing and purpose and favor can we walk in if we'll honor him and honor those he said honor? So then Jesus, because of familiarity, there was contempt. The old saying is true. Sometimes being too familiar with something or somebody will kind of breed a form of contempt. Actually feel a little contempt or feel a little weird about people you're really close to. And sometimes folks just can't break through that to show honor. It's a strange human nature thing, okay? But I wouldn't let anything keep you from receiving all God has for you. You know, when I go to the doctor, my doctor is probably late 30s, you know, younger man than I am, obviously, but he's a doctor, and, you know, he's has skills, and I reckon I call him doctor. His name is Andy. But I'm going to say, hey, Andy, what's up? I say, hello, doctor. Because I need the doctor. I don't need Andy. You know what I'm saying? I didn't come to see Andy. Now, we go out and play golf or something, it's going to be Andy. But I come in there, it's my doctor. So I am honoring him, not just in word, I say the word doctor, but I'm saying it because I receive him that way. Amen. And I'm my mind is set to receive from a doctor. I'm not going to match wits with him. You know, when he says something, I'm not going to just go up and get my iPhone and look everything up and challenge him. Well, I read this yesterday. He said, oh, you did? Then he's going to ask me some stuff I can't answer. Say, doctor, when doctors go to doctor talk, you're going to regret talking to them like you knew something. When you listen, don't run up on an expert. Say, I will not. Run up on an expert. Because see, it's dishonor. And you wind up looking stupid. If they choose to go there, they're going to make you feel stupid. Because you're going to be ashamed running up on a doctor talking about lymphs and you know, and amino acids and stuff. you know what you're talking about. I can't talk doctor talk. I won't try. Now, I'm not so dumb. I do my research. We all should, you know, be responsible. My point is, whether it's a doctor, whether it's your parents, whether it's, you know, Jesus Christ, most of all, let's learn to honor for one reason. I want to get the most out of this experience. Now, if you go to challenge a doctor and talk real crazy, they'll just turn you out. Well, you know what? Here's a list of other doctors you can go talk to. You know what I'm saying? And, hey, here's this one. And if they go one, they go one. They're happy to send you out of there. Because some people, when people come like they know it all, you want to get rid of them. You do. Because there's no way forward with a person who won't honor who they're talking to. There's no way forward. There's no way forward. You just have to just be quiet, be still, until maybe God help them open their eyes to see how to receive the help they need. Amen? Amen? Sometimes the biggest problem people have, we've had, is that here we say we need help, and we're going for help and counsel, and you won't listen to what the counsel is. Come up in there, you're going to challenge the person you say you want to help you. Why did you come in there in the first place? I learned a long time ago that someone said the reason people come for counseling is usually to be shined up. To get shined, like shoes, shine them up. They want to be shined up. Yeah, shine me up. Shine me, buff me up, build me up. Make me feel a certain way. I didn't come to really talk about my issue. You know, I came to you to confirm what I'm thinking about the issue. Shine me up. Buff me up. That's why, you know, because if you counsel somebody, you go straight to the heart of the matter. They're trying to squirm now. People say, well, I'm having a marital problem. Oh, what's the problem? Well, he won't do this. Oh, he won't. No, he won't. What are you doing? What am I doing? I can't talk about him. See the problem already? Now, so then they're saying, shine me up. Give me something to go get him. To go get back at him. I mean, listen, y'all. There's a part of human nature that is really weird. Well, not a part. Every part. Like last week's message, remember that? Deactivate the old man. Activate new man. Because the honor is going to come out of the new man, the new you. The honor to not just question people and that God told you to receive from, but to learn to honor. Because these folks shut down the grace that was on Jesus for them. They didn't shut him down. They shut down the grace that was supposed to come from them, from him to the people. All right? Well, don't let familiarity, do not let your opinions, don't let someone's shortcomings or whatever blind you to who somebody really is in your life. And don't fail to honor and then fail to receive the blessing of honor's reward. There's a blessing with honor. Now, when you understand it, we see it all around us. It isn't always about kissing up to folk. It ain't about that at all. But when you recognize someone in your life and recognize God most of all in your life, then you actually make God willing to bless you. Listen, the Bible says, Jesus said this. He said, he said that the Lord is not going to, well, he speaks in a small, still voice oftentimes. And God's not going to shout over the noise of our lives. Say, for example, you're watching TV. And let's say if you really want to hear from God, the TV's always on. Always on, you got stuff in your ear, your iPhone, iPad, whatever, always some. But I mean, I want to hear from God. But you never get quiet. There's always noise. There's always something going on. But you're saying, I want to hear from God. I need direction from God. Well, then how are you honoring God? By never slowing down enough and turning enough stuff off to hear God. Listen, y'all, if you got to show the Lord and show people in your life that you really want to hear from them. Amen? And then where God's concerned especially, then learn how to turn things off and get yourself in a quiet place, turn that phone off, come on somebody, and just sit there until God begins to minister to you. And don't give him just 10 minutes either. I mean, give God enough time, just wait there until you begin to sense the presence, you begin to, because see, God isn't waiting, he's waiting for you. He's waiting for us to get quiet. Well, honor is about doing whatever it takes for us to value our God. The word honor really means to value. It's a valuing. To honor is, it's a picture of something weighty and expensive and precious. It's appreciation, esteem, high regard, respect, all those terms go to the word honor, define the word honor. And honor is more than a word definition. It's a heart disposition. And so when you properly honor, God and others in your life, it really sets you up for a lot of blessing in your life. Amen, church? Amen. It does. Not because people always see it, but because God sees it. Another example. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 15. Now, would you agree with me that the Pharisees were not walking in blessing? Huh? Yeah. Those folk, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, those folk were not walking in true authority and true blessing. I mean, they were always kind of working schemes because they had no grace from God. They had to just make up stuff. So this is where Jesus said in Matthew 15, he said in verse 7, this is a quote from actually the Old Testament. He says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people honor me or draw near to me with their mouth. And lips they honor me, but their heart is far from me. Now, how far, listen, church, how far can we get with God, go with God, if our hearts are not connected to him? I mean, how much can we get out of God, out of people, out of our jobs? I mean, how much can you get out of anything when your heart is not in it? Huh? I mean, you see, I go to these places and I do business everywhere, and it's always amusing to me going somewhere, amusing where I go in some place and got people working up their front there, and they're talking among themselves, and you're standing there waiting to be serviced, you know. I mean, I was in a Christian bookstore last year, told you this story. I went to buy a Bible. I come to the front, and there's two folks talking. The clerk had her back turned, talking, turned around, looked at me, and turned back around, kept talking. I kid you not. I'm like, I ain't gonna stand there and beg for you and wait for you. So, man, I'm walking back to the shelf with the Bible in my hand, got my phone, Amazon.com. By the time I left that store, I had a Bible on the way from Amazon.com. I said, now listen, I believe we got to support local businesses, y'all. Now, I'm an Amazon.com. I'm kind of a nut about that. I got free shipping and everything. Next day, free shipping. I ain't got to go nowhere in the city to buy something. I don't want just next day, come to, they bring it to me. But that's bad for local businesses. So I support local businesses. I drive over to the Christian bookstore, shop for a Bible, get a Bible, come to the front, and these folk are talking to each other. They dishonor the customer. Therefore, you get no money out of me. Nothing out of me. I walk back, put the book back on the shelf, and like I said before, I was already ordering my stuff. I got an app. Amazon, and it cost less too. Came home, next day, there it was on my book doorstep. See, so dishonor happens all kind of ways, amen? And, you know, I hope the conversation was important. I guess it was a very important conversation. Because I'm out of there. All right. So then honor has to be not just with lips and words, but from the heart. And the heart will direct your actions. Luke 15. Luke chapter 5. Next story. I'll probably just do two stories for time's sake. But Luke chapter 5. Well, I got to do probably one more. It's great stories here. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. However, the report went around concerning Jesus all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Good note, by the way, that Jesus' ministry wasn't really primarily praying for people. It was primarily spending time with God. Listen, he would leave people to go to prayer. He wouldn't leave prayer to go to people. Get the priority? He loved people. He was there for people. But he knew that if I don't honor God first by spending time in prayer, I got nothing for people. So he often withdrew. On one occasion, he sent people away. Imagine that. They all gathered. And he knew it was time to pray. He said, well, I got to go. Where you going? I got to go. You ain't got to go home. You got to leave. I mean, Jesus left people. He left them. Because, see, if he didn't honor God in his prayer time, he would have nothing for people. All right, story continues. Now it happened, verse 17, on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law standing by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. They came to hear Jesus, all right? And it says this, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Look at that. According to the text, the power of God was present to heal, not just those who came among the populace, but even among those Pharisees and teachers of the law. Even they could have received from God. The power was present to heal. See, the power was present. Verse 18, then behold, a man brought on a bed, a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring to lay before Jesus. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, through the front door, if you will, because of the crowd, they went up to the housetop, let him down with his bed through the roof into the midst before Jesus. Now, get a picture of this. It's a house. Bunch of folks in the house, around the house. Christ is in the house ministering. And these men brought their friend on the stretcher, we'll say. And they couldn't get in to the door because it's packed jammed with people. So they went up on the roof. And now, the roofs back then were not made of steel and, you know, all that. So they just unthatched. They actually broke up the roof, made a hole in the roof. And they got some rope, and they planned this out, thought it through, and they lowered their friend. They didn't drop him. Now, you gotta be careful now. You just let him slip, you know. So they lowered their friend. And here's Jesus teaching. All these folk in the room, room's packed out, and there's some stuff falling down. Well, what's this? And then you see somebody coming down, being lowered. Those guys, they found a point. They put him right in front of Jesus. And there's the man in front of Jesus. Jesus is like, I love this. This is great. Because see, what it said to Jesus was, these men so honored him, Jesus, so respected the power of God, that they took no excuse, made no excuse not to bring their friend in there. They honored both the friend who was sick and honored Jesus, whom they knew could heal him. And so when Jesus saw this, look at verse 20. So when Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Now, the man was sick, must have had a sin problem too. Jesus called it out. Man got healed and got delivered from sins. Now, what? See this. Now, Jesus saw their faith. Say, Jesus saw their faith. You can see somebody's faith. You can see it. See, faith without works is what? If it's faith, you can see it. Not just hear it. Words are cheap. But when persons have faith, they take certain actions. Amen. They persevere. They press through. They press in and seek God. They don't let circumstances hold them back. Those guys can say, look, man, hey, let's say if Jim was a guy sick. Hey, Jim, look, man, hey, we came over here. We came down here. Look, man, it's all crowded. Folk all up in there. Look at them. See? Jim, I can see. I can barely turn my head so I can see. Okay, so you see? Look, turn his head over there. See, Jim? Jim too sick to move, right? They got to move his head over there. But it could say, hey, Jim, look, man, we tried. Okay, we tried, but we can't get in there. We'll come back tomorrow. Those men had no intention of not leaving there. They said, what can we do? How can we get Jim to Jesus? What can we do, man? They were focused on Jesus. How do we get to him? Their mind on things above. Not on things in the earth. All them people, and it's hot up in there, and it's cramped in there. None of that. And so someone said, you know what? We go up on the roof. Now, you know you're in faith when you say to your friend, let's go on the roof, and the friend said, let's go. You got friends who want to encourage you to do anything. You got some friends. You can't get to go around the corner with you. Come on, somebody. You got some friends. They're lazy. They broke. They cheap and got no kind of vision. These guys, they were friends. We going up on the roof, baby. Let's go. We're going to the roof, man. And that wasn't easy either. Amen. The whole thing was hard. The whole thing was difficult, man. Went up on the roof. Opened the roof up. You know, sweating and stuff, man. And trying to be not to fall through the hole. I mean, all imagine. Let's get the picture of it. And when Jesus saw that, he immediately said, that's it, you got your blessing. You got the blessing. You've honored. Honor has brought you a blessing. But look who wasn't honored or blessed by what they saw. So then Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you. Verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. See, these were the people, the Bible said, the power was present to heal. They were sick too. They were sick. They were all there sick. Bible says they all had infirmities. Even the Pharisees came in there all limping and broke down. You know what I'm saying? Wheezing. Here they come. And so they're in there too. And a power was present to heal everybody. And so they saw the man get healed and heard what Jesus said. And then they said, reason said, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who is this speaking blasphemy? The one who can heal you. If you had enough sense to honor him. They went straight to the religious card. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Duh. Hint, hint. That is God standing right there. It is God in the flesh forgiving sin. Emmanuel means God with us. That's one of Jesus' names. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, they were just thinking this, see? They didn't see. They thought it. He heard the thoughts. He hears our thoughts, too, by the way. Yeah. He hears your thoughts. Amen. You knew that, didn't you? All right. Right? You knew that? You knew that? He hears your thoughts? People can't, but God does. Now, he says this. Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or rise up and walk? So that you may know the Son of God has power to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise up, take up your bed, and go to your house. Now, Jesus, first he forgave the man's sins while he's on the stretcher. He was on the way to healing, no doubt. But then, because they questioned what Jesus did, the way Jesus did it, he said, look, I can say your sins are forgiven. I can say be healed and rise up. Either one I can say, I just say both. Just to show you how powerful God is. He said to the man, rise up, take up your bed, and walk, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them and took up what he had been lying on and he departed to his own house, glorifying God. That man was striding up out of there. You know what I'm saying? He gathered his stuff up. He jumped up, adjusted his clothes, picked up his stuff, arranged it under his arm, and just striding, glorifying God. Everybody saw that. Verse 26, and they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. This is some deep stuff up in here. This is, oh my goodness. See, everybody knew it. Couldn't deny it. But even so, those who dishonored Jesus wouldn't have faith. They missed out on their blessing. Doesn't say it here, but more folk got healed after this guy got healed. I mean, healing broke out. Power of God just invaded that place because he was all, the power was there. Listen, y'all, the power is always here. Hear this. Jesus doesn't summon power from someplace. He is power. Amen. The presence of God is everywhere all the time. We don't walk in it because something is preventing us from access. It's right there. Isn't God saying, I don't like you. You can't have my power. No, it's a lack of faith and a lack of honor that prevents the blessing from manifesting where he said it's already present. Amen. You ever been somewhere? You've seen it happen before. You've gone someplace hotel, example. Sometimes you go to a hotel and they say it's sold out. It's never sold out. All right? There's always a room at the hotel. It depends who you are. Also depends on how you come and approach, you know. Now, if you have a membership, you know, that helps you. Rewards member, whatever, the club. Or sometime, if you're really nice to people, I mean, nice in a genuine way, and, you know, and just really come correct, sometimes folk just, they suddenly find a room. You know what I'm saying? I mean, honor can open doors for you. It brings favor, right? I don't mean just, I ain't gonna kiss up to nobody. Who said kiss up? We're talking about honor. Because kissing up is fake and phony. It's not from the heart. Honor is from the heart. Some may perceive it as kissing up, whatever. It is not. It's from the heart. And God sees it, and God makes things happen for people who have honor. Amen, church? It's the blessing of honor. See, I got the blessing of honor. Amen. So then, that story, I believe, is an excellent example showing how some men and their friend who was sick, they found a way to get their friend to Christ and to expose him to the power of Christ. And Jesus saw their faith, saw the earnestness and the honor they were bringing forth in that place. And they got a blessing other folk were waiting to receive in that room. Didn't get it, but they received it. Look at Matthew chapter 8. And I got to try to close here. I want to... One more story. Romans chapter 8. Matthew 8, thank you. Matthew 8. My thought was Roman centurion, all right? It's about the Roman centurion. So I said Romans, I made a mistake. But Matthew 8, look at verse 5. Now when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now, see the approach? First of all, he's a Roman centurion. He was not a Jewish person. In fact, Jesus Christ really came for the Jewish people, primarily. But the Roman came over there, the centurion. In fact, you know, he would be crucified by centurions, right? Centurions routinely killed people and crucified people and all that. They were, you know, dangerous people. But this man came and said, "Lord." Now, if he said, "Hey, Jesus," Jesus never would have stopped. Listen to him. But he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy." Back up. "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed." Jesus saw two things. He saw, first of all, that man honored God through him, Jesus, and he honored his sick servant. Because listen, y'all, he was in a position where he could throw that sick servant away and go get another one. Huh? Yeah, he had that kind of power. Just throw him away and hey, this one's sick, dispose of him, get me another servant who's not sick. He could have done that. But this man had compassion. As fierce as he was by training, the centurion had a tender heart. And so he said, "Jesus, my servant is sick. He's tormented." He saw the man's heart. Jesus said, "I will come and heal him," just like that. But don't stop there. It says, verse 8, centurion answered and said, "Lord," say Lord, he said, "Lord again, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof." Then he said this, "But only speak a word and my servant will be healed." And he said this, "For I am also a man." I'm also like you, a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And say to one, "Go," and he goes. Another, "Come," and he comes. Do this and he does it. Verse 10, "And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, Surely I say to you, I've not seen such great faith, not even in Israel." The greatest faith, the greatest honor Jesus ever saw up to that point was from a non-Jewish person. Not even one of the disciples had come this far in their faith walk. Because even disciples demanded Christ. "Jesus, come over here, come over there." But the centurion said, "Jesus, I know who you are. I recognize the authority principle. It's called delegated authority. That like me," he said, "I have command authority to send people, to call people." He said, "Jesus, you got more than I have. So then don't come to my house. Don't waste your time. Save your time and save the trip. Just speak the word. Just say it." Jesus said, "Oh my goodness, oh, I love it." See, he marveled. I want to see a movie where they show Jesus marveling. Because marveling meant he was both surprised, he was happy, he was blessed. Listen, y'all, you really want to bless Jesus. You want to make him marvel. When he marvels, man, something great about to happen, all right? So it says here, he said, "I've not seen such great faith." Then he said to him, next verse, he says, where's it at? Verse 13. He said to him, "Go your way. As you have believed, let it be done for you." And the servant was healed in the same hour. Jesus never went over there, never touched that man. But because a centurion, a Roman, a non-Jew, a Gentile, people the Pharisees wouldn't be seen with. They were both feared and hated by the Jewish people, these centurions, as a group. But this one distinguished himself in a way that excelled past even Jesus' own disciples. He went to a place of faith and honor we hadn't seen before. That's why it's in the Bible for us to read. And to this day, when you honor God like that, and have faith like that, and that don't demand God to do something, just demand God be God. Huh? "Well, God, I need you to do this for me, and here's four ways you can do it." You know, as if, no, don't box God with your thinking. Like we said about the roof. I never imagined in thought that it'd be my dad who gets some information and he and another guy would go up there and fix this roof. We'd always been thinking about, man, 75,000, 25,000. You know what I'm saying? We have board meetings talking about it. How are we going to raise that kind of money? It's like, you know, we're all in faith, but it's like sometimes, you know, your faith is like, ooh, all right, here's, get a thermometer, $75,000. All right, we got the first dollar. You know, I got 10, I got 100. How far we go? I can't see it move. We're not moving yet. You know, the thermometer's still like, so, see, I never imagined. So, but God knew. And we do honor God in this church. We sow seed around this world. We've given money to works in Kenya, Jesus' house. Amen. We are sowing and giving from this church. We bless our own members sometime. See, God sees all that. And really, we've given enough money to have enough reward, enough of a return on giving to pay for all that stuff. Well, it got done a different way. Thanks to God. Thanks to Dad Hudson. Whew, I'm encouraged by that story, y'all. Amen. This whole teaching here that I'm telling you, there is a blessing when you learn to honor God and honor the people that God's an honor. One last verse I'll give you is Matthew 10. Turn there, please. Let's just turn there and read this. Stand up. If you stand up, I see you standing. I know I got to stop. Amen. I'm really excited, but I'm going to stop. So get your Bible, stand up, and look at this verse. We'll read this and comment and rejoice over it. Jesus said this, verse 40. He who receives you receives me. And him who receives me receives him who sent me. Are you see the connection? When you receive Jesus, you receive the one who sent Jesus, Father God. When you receive, you know, your fellow brother and sister in Christ, your pastor, whoever it is, your mentors, when you receive folk properly, you're receiving those, it's as if you're receiving the one who sent them to you. He says, whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, he shall by no means lose his reward. I kind of skipped through it somewhat there. But the principle is when you honor, it reflects back to the one that sent you. People who lack honor lack a foundation. They do. They lack foundation. They lack a heritage and a lineage of grace and good people in their lives. What you see out here in the streets today, the violence going on and people killing people, all the foolishness going on, because they don't have enough honor in themselves for God to honor people. And so to mistreat somebody, to get mad at somebody to the point of hurting and killing, you know, people do it because they don't have honor in their heart. They don't. And, you know, sometimes you go out and walk up on people, whether young or old, and some folk come back like they don't know who you are, no respect for you, no matter who you are. Even sometimes police officers don't get the honor and respect they do. And folk just test and try people, and what they gonna do? They're gonna bust you in the head, you know. Keep that up, you know. I mean, who knows? I mean, sometimes the cop don't have much honor either, so he gonna bust you in the head. You know what I'm saying? So just be careful who you're dealing with. And then people disrespect the president of the United States. That's really bad, y'all. Now you know that I'm not with stuff our president is with in total, you know what I'm saying? But what's that got to do with respecting the man in the office he's in? And what's bringing the country down faster than anything else is a lack of honor. Because the fact is, if you don't honor the president, you don't honor God. Bible says, if you can't honor people that you see, you can't honor those you do not see, of whom God is, you know, you don't see God. So therefore, please, church, let's walk in this principle. Let's work it. Let's study it through. Let's show honor, you know, to God, to others. Let the Lord's blessing be upon your life. Don't cut yourself off from blessing by being mad at somebody, all that foolishness. Don't fall into that stuff. All right? Don't get mad at your sources. Don't get mad at the folk who are here to bless you. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you now for your word. Thank you for this opportunity. to reflect on these principles and even to think about, Lord, here on Father's Day, that honoring our fathers, Lord, is chief among those areas and people we should honor. And Lord, there's blessing all around us, Lord. There's power present even to work and to heal. But sometimes, Lord God, we cut off our own blessing by a lack of honor for you, by a lack of actions that reflect the honor we should have towards you and others. Lord, thank you that we honor our fathers and we honor you, Father God, and we want the benefits, Lord, of honoring. And you said that in your word, Lord, that we have the opportunity, Lord, here to reflect you to others.